జయం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి జయం నిత్యలీలా ప్రవిష్టం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపగోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరిగోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయకి హేమనమాయకి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీ శ్రీశీల ప్రభుపాద్ నమాం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని దినామిని నమస్తే సారస్వదేవిం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహగృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాద్ శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్స్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాదస్త్వం నో యదప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయా ఇతరతస్ అర్థేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాన్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆది కవయే ముహ్యంది యత్ సూరయాం తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహగం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర వరమో నర్మత్సరాణాం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తావత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా వరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తక్షణాన్ నిగమగల్పతరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసిగా భువి భావుకా సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేదవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమాం యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనుపేతమపేతకృత్యం ద్వైవాయనో విరహకాతరమజ్జుహావాం పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనతోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతిథితీర్షదం తమోంధం సంసారిణం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయేన్ కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకొనిదాదృదానెందో మమ వాచి విజృంభదామురారేర్మధురిం న కణికాపి కాపి కాపి నమావోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാ സംഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാതി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമാം മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ Last Sunday, there was a topic from Bhagavatam. We talked about it, which was about Antaryami Upasana, or in other words, worshipping Krishna as the Super Soul. That's the topic we were covered. We were talking about it, isn't it? It's a very important part of Bhagavatam, this Antaryami Upasana, or worshipping Krishna as Antaryami. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look into the chapters 11, verse 45, you will see there, the statement is, Standile mandrahdayair bhogai atmanam atmani kshetrajyam sarvabhudeshu samatvena yajetamam. This is that verse. That's what the verse we're discussing. Standile mandrahdayair bhogai atmanam atmani. All words very important. Standile mandrahdayair. That in the planet outside, in this world, in the externally, Krishna says there that through mantram and through nyasam, sandile mandrahdayair bhogai atmanam atmani. Krishna is saying there that when we serve Krishna through chanting the holy name or any other process externally, bhogai atmanam atmani, inside you should serve Krishna through everything that comes through senses. In other words, externally with the senses of action, that means the hands, the five senses of action we have, isn't it? Through external five senses of action, we conduct so many activities. And for serving Krishna. Internally, Krishna is saying, bhogai atmanam atmani. In other words, knowing very well, I am sitting inside, all sense gratification, what we are doing, should be directed towards Him. In other words, if we do that, then we won't do the wrong thing. Krishna is giving us some clue how to break that progress in spiritual life. Sandile mandrahdayair bhogai atmanam atmani. Inside it, if we are conscious that Krishna is inside all the time, and every activity we perform in this world, we will not do forbidden things. If we are conscious of that, when we forget about Krishna's presence inside, that is when we go and do all kinds of nonsensical things. Isn't it? Why? Because this realization is not there inside. Bhogair atmanam atmani. Inside it's only Krishna's presence. That is what is allowing us to enjoy the senses. But if it is directed towards Him, the possibility that nothing will go wrong while living in this world. Krishna says these things are necessary because Kshetrajnam Sarvabhudeshu, in all living entities, it's only me who is present. Kshetrajna, as Kshetrajna means as the indwelling soul inside. It's me who is present in everything. Kshetrajnam Sarvabhudeshu Samatvena Yajedamam. You should treat me equally in everyone as I am present in all of them. So once that realization comes, Krishna is saying there that Sandale Mandakhdeir Bhogair Atmanam Alpam. It's a very important verse in the Bhagavadam. Kshetrajnam Sarvabhudeshu Samatvena equally Yajedamam. You should consider in that way that I am present in everyone equally, and therefore there is no possibility of things going wrong. So when we are exposed to situations where we are finding ragam and dvesham is the cause of this, isn't it? To someone we like, so therefore there is attachment, ragam. Somebody we don't like, so there is dvesham, hate towards that person. So raga dvesham, only if ragam and dvesham has gone from inside, one can do this. Kshetrajnam Sarvabhudeshu Samatvena Yajedamam. That samatvam, that equality of Krishna's presence, realizing Krishna's presence in everyone will only come at that point. So first thing to give up is ragadvesham, attachment and aversion. So once that goes away, Kshetrajnam Sarvabhudeshu Samatvena Yajedamam, that will happen, what Krishna says there. So this understanding, what we were discussing on last Sunday, what is known as Antaryami Vidya, isn't it? Antaryami Vidya, it is called. It is a special. It is the original system of worship in all the traditions. But as in course of time, we have lost that tradition in us, and the result of that was that we have ended up thinking that only through the deity worship we can reach Krishna. This misunderstanding has come to us. Only through the deity worship we can reach Krishna. But Krishna's point is that a person who has this understanding that Krishna is present in everyone, therefore there cannot be any mistakes in that aspect. Kshetrajnam Sarvabhudeshu Samatvena Yajedamam. So in the Bhagavadam, when we were discussing this, we say that. So all our activities, when with this understanding is executed, Krishna says it will be my worship. It will be my worship. With that understanding that I am present in everyone and it is a service to Krishna. In that way, if it is executed, that becomes bhakti. That becomes bhakti. So, Antaryami Upasana, or in other words, serving Krishna as Antaryami, present inside everyone, is that worship where we need to know what that person needs and offering him that and pleasing him in that way so that the Antaryami gets pleased inside. And when that is pleased, Krishna says that if it is done selflessly, then it becomes Krishna conscious activity. And examples given that when a person is very hungry and he comes, and if you offer food to him and he takes that food, that becomes Antaryami Upasana, that is serving Krishna. Similarly, if you offer clothes to someone who needs clothes badly and pleases him by offering him that is also pleasing Antaryami inside. When somebody is eaten very well and then you are forcing him to eat something and come, that's not Antaryami Upasana. That also you have to know. Only when somebody needs it, so that by offering that food, then it becomes sense gratification. There is a little difference there. That somebody has eaten a big meal and we are still forcing, come on, eat, you come to my house, you should eat as much as you can. And keep pushing him to eat, that is not Antaryami Upasana. Antaryami Upasana is this, that offering him food or clothing or whatever one can offer, by doing which the Antaryami inside must get pleased. That is the principle behind it. This is a big science. This Antaryami Upasana is a big science. All astrology, Ayurvedam, they are all dependent on this science of Antaryami principle. Vivi, why it is like that? if you know that the generally in the olden times, not the recent times, it's all mostly qualifications and degrees and this, that and the other, and then you become a professional doctor. But say 50, 60 years ago, when these things were not so prominent, many, many famous Ayurvedic physicians, they had treated certain diseases which could never be cured by allopathy or any other medical system. They were able to cure them. And there were families who did this. There were families who could do such things. What was the reason behind that? The reason is this, that the Antaryami inside, if you have practiced this Antaryami Upasana or pleased Krishna in that way, within yourself inside, by serving Krishna in such a way, that you have started that, developed that contact with Antaryami inside. What we have to remember is, the wire is broken somewhere between us and Krishna inside. If you re-establish that connection through Krishna consciousness, by this understanding what Krishna is saying here, that Antaryami Krishna inside will start talking to us. He will talk to us. That is the experience of all the great devotees. They didn't go to temple to talk to Krishna. They talked to Krishna inside first. So when that relationship gets stronger, anything what they do will come out successfully. It cannot fail. That is the principle behind it. I will explain that. How does it happen? The thinking is like this, that two Ayurvedic physicians, both equally studied, equally learned. A person with an illness went to one person, got treated, didn't get cured. Went to the another person, got treated and got cured. How would you say what actually caused the difference? And both the medicines were recommended, the medicines recommended were the same by both the doctors. He took the medicines from the first doctor, same medicine, he didn't get cured. He goes to the second doctor and he gives the same medicines to him. So the patient says to the second doctor, the same medicines were given to me by the first doctor. I had all these medicines before. The second doctor is saying, no, you please take it. I'm giving it to you. Please take it. He takes a medicine, he gets cured. This has happened in several cases. In the history you will see this. But these people don't make big propaganda and advertisement about all these things. But these are known facts, that same two doctors and one patient goes to both of them. One is able to cure him, another person is unable to cure him. Why did this happen? The reason is this, that a person who has pleased Antaryami, when he offered the medicines to him, what he is actually doing is, he is taking that truth inside, what he has realized inside, and imposing it on this patient inside. And once that happens, the patient inside, automatically the super soul responds and cures the illness. This is fundamental principle in Ayurveda. Many, many ancient traditions of Ayurveda works on this principle. They didn't have Ayurvedic colleges like today. Qualifications and like the modern system didn't exist then. And many, many illnesses which could never be cured, all doctors have given up on them and they couldn't do anything about it, they had come and got cured and gone away. How did this happen? This is the Antaryami principle. That one who is serving the Antaryami, Krishna inside, recognizing Krishna's presence inside, and who has executed that upasana means the necessary cultivating that relationship with Krishna in that way over a long period of time through their sadhana. They have done that and they know that what the problem, they know that nothing they can do about it, because they are totally surrendered to that super soul inside and takes that super soul and put it on the patient from inside. They were able to do so. With the result of that, that super soul reacts to that. That super soul can change. The Paramatma inside is powerful, that he can cure any illnesses if he wants it. And so this is something important. It's the same thing with astrology. Just like in Ayurveda, this has happened in many, many cases. Throughout history, if you look, you will see this has happened in so many cases. Astrology also is equally the same thing. Sometimes we think that astrology is all about studying astrology and studying the Shastram. No, it is not. Shastram is only a small part of it. Everybody can study astrology. It's not a difficult thing. Sometimes 5-7 years you study, master everything related to astrology. But again, what happens? One person makes a prediction, it comes true. Another person makes a prediction, doesn't come true. Why does that happen? It is again the same thing, Antaryami principle inside. So once the Antaryami starts dictating from inside, whatever he speaks comes through the astrologer. That is all it is. And it works. It works for him because already his upasana is towards Antaryami all the time. So service to Antaryami means this, that whatever Antaryami dictates from inside becomes becomes naturally. If you ask him, how did this happen? He says, I don't know. That's no answer to that. There's no answer to it. Why? Because already he knows that Antaryami has dictated like this and he has predicted something, it has come true. It has come true. So this recognition in astrology as well as in Ayurveda is both from the Antaryami. Antaryami's power that is working there. So we today in the modern world, we are seeing that all these has become very much a profession based on qualifications, experience, and they use all the latest techniques, particularly in astrology, of calculating the position of the stars and so many things. And often they predict nothing comes right properly. As you know, astrology is not always 100% correct. It cannot be. It's imperfect science also. It's not a perfect science. So, the only perfect science is the science related to the soul. Nothing else. Everything else in this, even the Vedas, Karmakandam is imperfect. Astrology is imperfect. Ayurvedam is imperfect. They are all imperfect. The only perfect thing is the soul related to the soul. Nothing else. So, the point to understand is this, that without the presence of the soul, without the sanction of the soul, whatever we do can never become perfect. If the soul gets involved, it becomes perfect. In the presence of the soul, everything becomes perfect. But without the assistance of the soul, Krishna's presence inside, Kshetrajnam, Krishna is saying here, isn't it? Kshetrajnam sarvabhudeshu. That in all living entities, the only person who is present is Krishna, inside, nobody else. Samatvene yajedamam, that with that day, if you worship me, Krishna says, it will work. It has a secret behind it. That will definitely work, Krishna is saying. Samatvene yajedamam. So, bhogai almanam almani. In everything, if a person develops this consciousness, that every bhogam, everything I am doing in this world through my senses is for Krishna's pleasure. If that becomes a habit with a person, Krishna says, you will see me in everyone, automatically. Kshetrajnam sarvabhudeshu. Krishna says, samatvena yajedamam. That is what that means. Samatvena yajedamam means that seeing that everything what we do with our senses becomes an offering to Krishna, who is present inside. So, this system of pleasing Krishna in this way was the practice in the past. It's only now we have developed it's only probably in Dwapara Yugam, end of Dwapara Yugam, Kali Yugam, this science has been lost. We have lost that science. Now what has happened? Because we need to worship Krishna and we need a deity for that worship. So that's how temples came up. Because of the losing of this capacity to worship Krishna in that way, we lost it. So in due course, temples have started, deity worship has started, and we have started contacting Krishna through the deity, form. So that is also in the Shastram, that Kudeja Dhyayade Vishnu Tretayam Yajado Makhai Dwapare Parijaryayam Kalautad Harigirtanalt. So, Parijaranam and Harigirtanam is Dwapara Yugam, Kali Yugam. Prior to that, it was always this principle of Antaryami. That was more prominent. People, many, many great jnanis and devotees, they had this very clear understanding in them. They didn't go to temple every day because they had already started feeling that connection. The connection is established inside with Krishna. Once the connection is established, then for them samatvena yajedamam, everywhere it is Krishna's presence. They do not feel the need to go and see the deities at the temple or worship the temple worship or anything. That's gone beyond that stage for them. That's why Krishna says, Kshetrajnam sarvabhudeshu samatvena yajedamam. If we have come to that stage, at that point, temple worship may not be that important. They may go to the temple just to keep the law of the society, but other than that, they don't need it. They are not in need of that anymore. They have gone beyond that stage. Kshetrajnam sarvabhudeshu samatvena yajedamam. This Antaryami Upasana means, if a doctor sees a patient, and if the doctor has Amrita Drishti means this realization inside, and if he treats the person not seeing him as the body, but purely as the soul in him, if he has reached that stage, the patient's illness must go. He must get cured. This is the law. That if the doctor has reached that stage, even if the patient has not reached that stage, but the doctor has reached that stage where he realized it, that he is seeing Amrita Drishti. Amrita Drishti means this nectarian vision has developed inside after doing Antaryami Upasana. Kshetrajnam sarvabhudeshu samatvena yajedamam. If that samatvam has come to him, if he has a patient who is suffering from an illness, and if the doctor is seeing that patient purely as Krishna's another presence in that body, if he is treating that patient, the patient must get cured. That's the principle. Antaryami Upasana's power is like that. Such is the power of Antaryami, that Krishna's presence is so powerful. In the modern world, because we don't know these techniques, these subtle things in life, we go here, doctor, that doctor, this doctor, everywhere we go. But curing is not happening due to your medicine. Curing is happening because inside that person, the Antaryami knows what is required for that person. It is when he sanctions, it gets cured. When he doesn't sanction, no matter what treatment you do, it's not going to happen. So, if some instances, many, many great Ayurvedic physicians have said that after they have discussed with Antaryami and treated a patient, and if it didn't get cured, they had only one reason, that they got the signal the person has got prarabdham to suffer, and that you can't do anything about it. Sometimes such prarabdham can happen to people. Many, many chronic illnesses comes in that category. Some chronic illnesses particularly. That person has the prarabdham due to previous karmam in previous life. He has got this body, come here, and he has to go through that prarabdham. There is nothing you can do about it. So such instances can also exist. But Antaryami also generally won't touch the prarabdham. Prarabdham is an important thing. Prarabdham, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, will never be taken away. That one has to experience through and finish it up. We have got this body, it is called Prarabdha Shariram. Prarabdha body this is. So in other words, this body has to go through. We have been given this body to go through that. So that's not going to be changed under any situation. So if a disease never get cured, doesn't get cured, the only thing he would do is from Antaryami, clear signals comes to him that it is his Prarabdham, nothing can be done about that. So, Kshetrajnam Sarvabhudeshu. So, Bhogair Almanam Almani. So, Krishna is saying to us that if such a relationship between our super soul and us is developed in that way, and in the same way, if a relationship builds up with other living entities, that is called bhakti. That is bhakti. As far as Krishna is concerned, that is bhakti. That while we deal with other living entities, for example, a mother towards the child, or the son or daughter towards the mother, husband and the wife and the husband, and similarly between brothers and between sisters, brothers and sisters, all relationships in this world, Krishna says, bring this Antaryami principle in there. Otherwise, then what will happen is, Krishna says, samatvena yajedamam. You will be able to see everywhere the manifestation of the supreme super soul in every living entity. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Krishna's point is that this complete substance, purna vastu, is in everybody. Everyone has got this inside, the complete thing inside. Then, little by little, that will start manifesting in that person, provided we approach in that way. Therefore, Krishna says that approach everyone with this understanding, basic understanding inside, not to reject anyone, to deal with them in a respectful way. Kapila Maharshi says this in the Bhagavadam. If you look carefully, you will see all these things. In the third canto, if you look there he says there, adhamam sarvabhudeshu bhudalpmanam kridalayam arhaye dhanamanabhyam maitreya abhinyena chakshusham. Who says this? Kapila Vasudev says to Devahuti Devi. Devahuti Devi was Kapila Vasudev's mother. Kapila Vasudev says to Devahuti that adhamam sarvabhudeshu. When one starts seeing in all other living entities, bhudalpmanam kridalayam, that's a place where Krishna's presence or Krishna is living in those bodies, in all the other bodies as well. Arhaye dhanamanabhyam, according to that particular person's desire. If you please him, arhaye dhanamanabhyam, giving him dhanam or whatever charity or whatever that you are giving, manam, also respect. That is important. It should not be done in a very ignorant way. It should be done with properly. That is, arhaye dhanamanabhyam, maitreya abhinyena chakshusha. Maitri means in friendship. In friendship it should be done. Abhinyena chakshusha, seeing that that person is non-different from the soul, that Krishna is present in that person. Abhinyena chakshusha. With that vision, if we relate with everyone in this world, Kapila Vasudev says to Devahuti Devi, what will happen is, in due course of time, all he will see is this connection with the soul in everyone. That is the important point. Tandu sarvam parityajya sneham swajana bandushu maya veshyamana samyak samadrik vijarasvagam. That samadrik state will happen in this way. That's why it's saying there. Adhamam sarvabhudeshu bhudalpmanam kridalayam arhaye dhanamanabhyam maitreya abhinnena chakshusham. Maitri means, that is how it should be carried on, he says. Maitreya abhinyena chakshusha. With maitri, with friendship, and with this consciousness, with this understanding, abhinyena, that this person is not different from Krishna, is present there in him. With that consciousness, if you deal with that person, abhinyena chakshusha, what will happen is this, bhogair altmanam altmani, that you will come to the understanding that I am serving Krishna. Krishna's service is like that. So, because we have not developed that, Krishna is saying here that the importance of this relationship. Do you see? You follow what I am saying? That this Antaryami Vidya, the depth of that is very high. It's very, very high. People do not think that the Antaryami relationship with Antaryami and Antaryami worship that was practiced by everyone, almost all the people, they practiced this in their dealings with others. And therefore, they did not have to, they were respectful. They were respectful to each other. People think how some people are very respectful to others, isn't it? Whereas some people are very rude and crude to others. Why is that? Difference is only this. That person may have practiced Antaryami Upasana in previous lifetimes or even in this life. If that vasana is inside, naturally that person will be respectful to other living entity. But if that vasana is not there, Antaryami Upasana hasn't happened any time before, then naturally he'll be very rude to others, because he simply sees the body in another person. He simply sees the
body in another person. Many, many examples for this throughout history. All the great realized souls have this. This is their. This is what they had with them. They had served Krishna inside as a super soul and made that connection what was broken. That's all. It is. They have bridged that connection again, and then all the activities have changed, their dealings with the world has changed, interaction with the whole world has changed. So, Maitreya Abhinnena Chakshusha, that is how it says there. Maitri with friendship and Abhinnena, without any difference, that person who is present there, is Krishna's presence is there in that person, in that way. So, many, many in the past, sometimes, these are all parts of the Ayurveda system of treatment. In the past, sometimes, the Ayurvedic physicians know that after treating some people, they have done their best, but the illness is not cured. Illness is not getting cured. At that point, what they will do is that depends on the physician. What they'll do is they will tell this person, the patient, that there could be some problem with the predominating deities of the senses. So, in such situation, their policy was that cook a large quantity of food and give it to a lot of poor people. Invite them and freely give them this food. And while giving this food, remember this, that you are offering the food to Krishna in that way. If you do it that way, what will happen? And people have got cured from illness. There are living examples even today who has practiced it and came out of their illnesses. There are examples like that. They had illnesses which could never be cured. And eventually the doctors have treated them. They realized that this cannot be cured. And ultimately they took the shelter of the super soul. Super soul's help was like this, that you won't see the super soul. Super soul is present in everyone. And only what was required was that they had to please the super soul and remove that obstacle, what was causing them. And they managed to free themselves from the illness. So, this is quite a common thing, that when they do such a thing, what's normally happening is that the result of their pious activities have run out in the bank account. So, that is depleted. So, all they are doing is that because it is depleted, therefore the illness has come. And if the same thing is done with the Krishna consciousness, and if you please that person in that way, eventually the super soul gets pleased and he is released from the distress. Atamam sarvabhudeshu bhudalpmanam kritalayam bhudalpmanam kritalayam arhaye dhanamanabhyam maitreya abhinnena chakshusham. Now, yuktam chadurbhujam shandam Dishneshu, Dishneshu, Shidimadrubam, Shankajakrakada, Ambujai, Yuktam Chadarbujam Shandam, Jayen Archal Samahidaha. If you look into verse 46 and 47 in that chapter, 11th chapter, chapter 11, you will see two verses there that Dishneshu, Shidimadrubam, Shankajakrakada, Ambujai, Yuktam Chadarbujam Shandam, Jayen Archal Samahidaha. Ishtapurtena mamevam yoyajeda samahidaha labhade maisal bhaktim malsmadi sadhu sevayaha. Malsmadi sadhu sevayaha. So, what does Ishtapurtha means? Ishtapurtha means, if you take it from the modern terminology, Ishtapurtha means social service. Ishtapurtha means social service. So, Andaryami Upasana, I was mentioning before, is a powerful process what was practiced by people who were conscious of the presence of Andaryami. The one of the history behind this is that the there was one person, his name was Venkateshwara Shastri, versus Shastri. This Shastri, this is not a very old story, probably about 60-70 years old, this incident happened. he came to study astrology. In astrology, there is a thing called prasnam. Prasnam means they have, it's a science of its own in astrology, a branch like that. He studied this and he became a very expert at it. There are many others who have studied with him, but he was particularly successful in his pursuit of this astrological field. In the royal family in Cochin, he spent a lot of time there studying this. He came from another part of the country, and when he has finished his studies, he went back to his village. In a village in Tamil Nadu, interior part, somewhere he came from, he went back to that village. So, that village where he came from, there were a lot of Vaishyas. In Tamil Nadu, they are called Chettiars. They are Vaishyas, they are, basically. Very much into money-making. That was their main attachment to money-making. So, the Shastri goes home, and he was staying with his wife. Vishalakshi was her name. His name was Venkateshwara. Both of them were staying in a very simple surroundings. They were very simple people. Simple in the sense that they never used this power of what their capacity in astrology for making money anytime. That was not their intention. They, out of the Brahminical intelligence, is just to acquire the knowledge. That's all. He acquired the knowledge, but it was never an intention to make money out of it. That was never the goal. But because while living in the village, lot of this Vaishya community members will come there to see him when they needed some help. And one of the members of the Vaishya community, he had a very expensive jewel with him, which he kept it at home. And one day it got stolen. When it got stolen, he came to consult this Shastri to find out from him what he should do. So when he came to the house, Shastriji was inside doing his deity worship and engaged in his upasana. He was doing inside. So wife Vishalakshi came inside and informed him that so-and-so has come. Because he was a wealthy man from the nearby area in the village. He had come, he said. So immediately Shastri told his wife, "Yes, I knew he was coming. I know for what he has come. Tell him that the jewel he is looking for is lying in the banana gardens between two bananas which have fallen down on the ground." He had a big, huge banana garden. If you go and search there, you'll find it there. Just tell him that and send him away. Also tell him, don't beat up any servants at the house. To such an extent, he was conscious what that person was coming for. He didn't even come out to talk to him. He just told his wife to inform this to that businessman, go back, I'll tell him to go home and search for this. It's not lost, it's there in the house. It's there in the garden, it's lying there near the banana plant. Go and search that, you'll find it. But also tell him, don't beat up any of the servants in that, because in India that's what they first do. There's many, many rich families, they have many servants at home. So if something is lost, they will get all of the servants first. So he specifically told him, don't touch any servants, they are not responsible for this, it's lying there inside. So the businessman goes home, as he was instructed, goes and searches, and he finds this jewel where he was told to search, and he found it out. And then he comes back next day, and at that time money was very valuable then, isn't it? Unlike today. That time he gave 1,000 rupees or something as a donation to this Shastriji and left it and he went away. So incidents, so many things centered around that. The same person, he used to walk with his wife to so many different ashrams. So in that process, he reached in one ashram once. So we're staying in the ashram. In the ashram, they'll give him some prasadam, he'll take it and sleep in one corner. Both husband and wife used to live like that. Although they had all this capacity, they won't use it for making a living or making money out of it. That was not their goal. So while living there, in that ashram, there were quite a few foreigners also were coming. from other countries, people were coming. So there was one lady from America who came there once. She came by Kuwait Airlines. From US, she has flown by Kuwait Airways, came through Kuwait and came to this ashram. She had some contact with the ashram before, and she wanted to come and spend some time here in the ashram. She obviously had been in touch with them and got interested in the philosophy and the sannyasis who lived there. That was her intention of coming. So it so happened, this is also a story going back about 50 years ago, there wasn't so many flights like today. And today now we have so many flights. Every day there is 15-20 flights to India flying from Heathrow. But in them days, flights were very, very rare. So she came through Kuwait Airways and she had to change the flight in Kuwait. When she changed the flight and boarded the next plane and came to the ashram, but her luggage didn't arrive. So she waited, and few days gone, luggage didn't arrive. So somebody told her that there is one Brahmana like this living here. You can ask him. He will tell you what's going to happen, what's happened to the luggage. She goes and asks him about that. He says to her, the luggage is not lost. It is still lying there. It will come. I can see the luggage, she said. He says to her, I'm seeing the luggage. It's lying there. He says, days gone, nothing happened. A letter came from the Kuwait Airways saying that the luggage, we can't trace it. It has been lost. We will try to make some compensation or something like that. They wrote a letter. The lady was so furious. She was so furious. She says she blamed the airline. Then she blamed this Brahmana also, saying that it's all nonsense. You people, so educated people, are falling into this kind of thing. All kinds of things she was saying. She says she had everything in that suitcases when she has traveled all the way from America. And so much she has brought with her. Nothing was there. And she was finding it difficult to survive there. So eventually she decided, everything takes time. Those days it was not like today, that there was no emails and there was no faxes, nothing. Either it was phone was the maximum you could get through. That too, you could be a remote village in India to contact by telephone even was very difficult. So she decided to go back to States again. She left and got her return ticket booked and flew back to Kuwait, and from Kuwait she was going back to US. So she flew back to Kuwait, and she had a transit time, a few hours in Kuwait at that time. And while she was walking around in the airport, where luggage was stocked, she saw her suitcases lying there. All the suitcases lying there. So she immediately contacted the authorities. They handed over the suitcase to her, showing the proof, everything. Although the airport authorities have written to her saying that it has been lost, this person kept insisting. Shastriji kept telling him, it is not lost. It is lying there. I am seeing with my eyes right now. This is Antaryami. Antaryami Upasana is like that. So many subtle things. What we don't see in this world, they see it. We are so gross we have become in our understanding of life, and so much absorbed in the body and material world, we have lost all this science of Antaryami principle. She collects the baggage, comes back to him, to the ashram again, and she wanted to please him something. He says, there's nothing to be pleased because luggage was always there. He says, it has never been lost. He would not agree. She kept on insisting that there's no question of I'm getting me luggage back. So in them days, you have to remember that unlike today, transfer facilities were all very poor them days. It was not so well organized like today. Today you can fly, even if you have break somewhere, within an hour somehow they'll manage to get all the luggage in and get you to the destination. But in them days, things were not that developed. But in spite of all that, she was very much disturbed by what has happened. And she kept telling Shastriji that, I've lost my luggage, why don't you admit that? You say you have so much occult power, and all kinds of things she was telling him. He says to her very coolly, she says to him, that luggage is not lost, it is there, I can see it, it is not lost. So this understanding of Antaryami is only known to those who have practiced it. And that's what Krishna is saying, that Antaryami is our closest friend, not anything else. That is why throughout Aham Sarveshu Bhudeshu Bhudalpanam Kritalayam, Krishna saying it is such an important thing such an important thing, Maitreya Abhinnena Chakshusha. If we see this connection with Krishna in this way, it is the quickest way one can establish relationship with Krishna, more than anything else. So, Ishtapurtam, we were talking about Ishtapurtam, isn't it? Ishtapurtam means social service. Social service means hospitals and schools and all those kind of things, isn't it? Whatever you do for the society. Whatever you do for the society. That is called Ishtapurtam. If you do that, if you do these things, expecting results from that, or for the sake of pride, or for recognition from others, you will get all that, but you won't get bhakti. That's the important point. Anything executed, ishtapurtam, if it is executed for the sake of getting recognition in the world, good name, and popularity or fame, and with the intention of getting a praise from this world, to get your name put in the newsletter so the whole world know we have done this, everybody knows about it. If it is done with that intention, you will get all that, but you won't get bhakti. You won't get bhakti. Krishna is saying, Ishtapurtam, if it is executed in such a way, simply to please Krishna, without telling anyone, if it is done only to please Krishna, that those people who are benefited by this, they are Krishna's parts and parcel. And by serving this particular way to them, it is only to please Krishna. If it is done in that way, that turns into bhakti. That becomes bhakti. So you can see where the difference is between bhakti and also our sense gratification. One is sense gratification. I want recognition from the whole world. I want everybody should think of me as a very charitable person. I will do all the... This is all the modern concept, isn't it? Modern concept is like that. That the whole world should recognize my charitable nature. How devoted I am to serve the community and the society. And so what do we do? Whenever we do some things like that, immediately followed by a lot of advertisement and propaganda in relationship with that. That will of course bring you fame and name in this world, but it will not help spiritually. It's against the spiritual principle. It is not bhakti. It is false ego. It is false ego. So when we operate on the false ego platform, we want all these things. When we operate on the devotional platform, on the spiritual platform, we don't need any of these things. That is the big difference there. We are acting in this world purely on a false ego platform. And when we are operating on the false ego, we expect all these things. When we are acting on the spiritual platform, we don't need any of these things because it's been done for Krishna's pleasure. Krishna should get pleased. That's the only desire at that time in the heart of the person. He doesn't want recognition from this world. He wants it should please Krishna. So, what will happen if one executes in that way? Chitta Shuddhi will happen. This is the result of that. Chitta Shuddhi means that consciousness gets purified. All the illusions goes away. Only in that state, Krishna is saying, spiritual knowledge will develop. Tattva Jitnyasa will develop. Whatever Krishna has spoken in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, we will start understanding what it is. So long as Chitta Shuddhi is not there, this will not happen. Because normally in our mind or in our thoughts is controlled by Rajas and Tamas, isn't it? Rajogunam and Tamogunam is inside. When these two things are inside, knowledge cannot develop there. Knowledge cannot develop there. First of all, the desire won't be there. Secondly, even if somebody tells them the right thing, it won't enter inside. Why? Sattval sanjayade jnanam. Only in sattva gunam, the radar is receptive. We are receptive only in sattva gunam. Sattval sanjayade jnanam. Krishna is saying this, stressing this in the Bhagavad Gita. That only in sattva gunam you will understand Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, what Krishna is talking about. We won't understand otherwise what Krishna is saying. Everything will be a mystery. Everything will remain as a mystery. Then you will keep going after course to do this. But it won't happen. Why? Sattval sanjayate jnanam. It is sattugunam that creates that jnanam. And automatically Krishna says, if the sattugunam is in abundance in a person, without being given from outside, inside Antaryami will give you all the understanding. Even you don't have to go looking for this knowledge elsewhere. So powerful is the sattugunam. So, Krishna says here, Labhade mai bhaktim, that once it is purified inside, that Antaryami who is inside, he will start shining. He will start shining. Rajogunam and Tamogunam will go from inside. And when Rajogunam and Tamogunam has gone from inside, that the truth inside will start showing up. Only the super soul will illuminate at that time. Super soul, when its illumination happens, what is the next thing? You will not be able to do any forbidden activities. Any forbidden activities. Actually, you can see the whole subtlety of the whole thing. Only if you sit and think about it. Sometimes you see some people who have studied well and they have practiced a lot of sadhana. In spite of that, they are not able to pull out from some of the forbidden things. And no matter how many times you tell them, it's not going in. Why is that? And it is shocking sometimes that they have studied Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, all literature, and then they had also heard from people, and they have also carried out a lot of sadhana in this life. In spite of that, some things they are not able to come out of it. They cannot do it. They just can't do it. That is the situation. It happens many, many times. Many learned people, highly learned, highly experienced, and they have studied books, they have practiced sadhana for a long period of time, but in spite of that, when it comes to certain things which one should not do, they go and do it. They go and do that. And even if you tell them a million times, it will not get in. So deep is that tamogunam inside, covering them, that they can't get through, break through that. And this is the most difficult thing. These are discussed by the acharyas, the subtlety of all these things. People don't understand that. They take it for granted. Oh, I've been reading Bhagavad Gita for so many years, and I've attended so many courses, and I'm already a devotee, I've been initiated, I got this. Any damn thing you have doesn't matter. At the end of the day, if the tamogunam is strong inside, it will not happen. And you will go and do such things. Shastram you are reading every day, and Shastram is telling you don't do it, and you'll go and do it. Still, it will not go in. Why? The coverage, that thick coverage of tamogunam around in your consciousness. It is so deep and strong inside that it will not break away. So, sattugunam, that is why they have studied Shastram. They have studied Shastram. And they have performed sadhana. But sattugunam hasn't happened. Only when sattugunam is there, bhakti will be there. Bhakti cannot be in other places. Only when there is sattugunam, there is bhakti. Ramanuja's story is very famous. Ramanujacharya is a famous story. If you read Ramanujacharya's life, you will see. He had a relative with him by name Govinda. He's a little younger to Ramanujacharya, and Govinda was a devotee. Govinda listened to Ramanuja all the time. Govinda took initiation from Ramanuja. Ramanujacharya was a powerful Vaishnavacharya. And Govinda, in all situations, will consult Ramanuja in everything. So Ramanuja told him one day that you should get married. You should get married. Ramanuja felt that it's a good thing for him to do, to get married. So Govinda got married. But after getting married, for quite some time, he used to live with his wife and mother-in-law. They were living together in the village. They never... Govinda, because of his the spiritual desire inside, culture, spiritual life, although he lived in householder life, for quite some time they didn't have children. Govinda didn't have any children. So, what happened to him was that his mother-in-law one day goes to Ramanujacharya and tells Ramanuja, that Govinda has got married and is living with his wife. But so many years have gone, they didn't have any children. Because in them days, that was very important, that you have married and married after marriage children. So didn't have any children. So you have to instruct him, because whole day he is busy with his sadhana, upasana, and he is so absorbed in that, I don't know how he will have any children if the way he is living today. He is never going to have children. Is this proper? She asked him. After getting married without having children to live a life like this, is this proper? This was the question. The mother-in-law raised towards Acharya, Ramanujacharya. Ramanuja told her to ask Govinda to come and see him. So Govinda came to see Ramanuja. So Ramanuja told him, Govinda, from now on, it is not proper for you. You got married. I understand that you are not living a proper married life. You never had children so far. You know that the Vedic injunctions are like this, that you have marriage. Marriage means children. And without children having, this is not proper and all that. Govinda told Ramanuja, what can I do? Every time I sit, I have practiced this Antaryami worship for so many years now. I can't engage in some crude activities, means household life and associated activities with that. I couldn't do that, he said. So on one side, Acharya is telling him to have a household life. Inside, Antaryami is telling him that withdraw from everything. Antaryami, he has been in consultation with Antaryami, and because Sattvagunam has gone up inside so high, it was difficult for him to engage in a Rajasic or Tamasic activity. Householder life means all this, isn't it? Rajasam and Tamasam is householder life. So Rajasic, Tamasic activity was very difficult for him. Ramanuja said to him, that's fine, I understand. But go home, in Sattvagunam you practice this. He says, okay, if there is Rajagunam, Tamogunam is out, you are in Sattvagunam. You are saying to me, like that Sattvagunam doesn't allow you to do practice anything, to engage in a household. But being in Sattvagunam, you carry on with your householder life. So he sent back mother-in-law and Govinda back home. They went home. Even after going home, Govinda for some time, he could not do anything. He was not able to do anything because of the rising Sattvagunam inside. Sattvagunam has gone so high inside that he couldn't do anything. In any relationship with wife, everything was becoming very, very difficult for him. So after some time, the mother-in-law again gone back to Ramanuja. Mother-in-law goes back and sees Ramanuja. Ramanuja says to her, is everything peaceful now at home? Ramanuja's question. So the mother-in-law says to him, what peaceful, nothing has happened. Said he has come home, but actually it has increased than before. He is not able to engage in any household or activities, and it is very difficult that if something is not done about this. Ramanuja calls Govinda, hands over sannyas to him, told him, now you leave home. There is no point staying here. Satwal sanjayade jnanam. Once that jnanam, knowledge has come and it has manifested in a person to that level, to that degree, it is very difficult to come back to householder's activity. Householder's activity. So material life also, when one, at some point in time, one has to withdraw from that. And the withdrawal, when it happens in this way, it's beautiful. Normally what happens is, we force sannyasam upon someone. And that poor man inside, all his desires are there. Nothing had left him. And then you are handing over this affront to him and the danda. He takes it, all in a cheerful mood. But inside, all the desires are there. So Rajogunam and Tamogunam is completely inside. And then he suffers every day. Because conflict starts inside. Every moment he is thinking, should I have taken sannyas or should I have not taken sannyas? Once this thought comes, then you are in trouble. Then it cannot go. And that's what we find, that there is certain qualifications before entering sannyas ashram, that if that qualifications are there, this won't disturb that person. So Ramanujacharya and Govinda's experience is one of the indications to us that the soul vasanas inside are so powerful that unless the vasanas die away, that the rajogunam and tamogunam will not withdraw from a person. And Krishna is saying here that as soon as the sattugunam builds up inside, bhakti will naturally be there. That is the connection between sattugunam and bhakti. Sattugunam and bhakti go side by side. If the sattugunam is sufficiently inside, plenty inside, then bhakti will naturally be there. That's why Krishna says, sattval sanjayade jnanam yaval smriti apohanam bhagavatam. Sattval sanjayade jnanam. At that point, you don't need even any instructions from anyone. Therefore, Krishna says, increase the sattugunam inside. Sattval sanjayade jnanam yaval smriti apohanam. What does that mean? Our forgetfulness of Krishna. In Antaryami Upasana, I mentioned this. We have lost that connection. The wire is broken. The wire will be connected again once the sattugunam builds up inside, automatically. Sattval sanjayate jnanam yaval smriti apohanam. That smriti will come back again. I have something to... Krishna is inside. I have a connection with Krishna. All this understanding will naturally come. Now what we are doing is, we are reading Bhagavad. Oh, Bhagavad is saying like this. It must be there. He must be inside. We think like that. The connection is not there still. We are just saying that, isn't it? So, saying like that is one thing, but experiencing is something different. Experience is something different. So, sattval sanjayate jnanam yaval smriti yaval smriti apohanam. Krishna is saying like that. From sattugunam, knowledge. From knowledge, realization of the soul. And at the same time, bhakti. Bhakti comes like that. So, you can see what we think of bhakti and what Krishna is talking about bhakti. Krishna's bhakti is something different than what we have understood about bhakti. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, the same verse comes in a different way. Sattval sanjayate jnanam, 14th chapter. Rajaso lobha evacha. Pramada mohau tamaso bhavado ajnanam evacha. When talking to Arjuna, Krishna spoke like this. While talking to Uddhava, Krishna says, sattval sanjayate jnanam yaval smriti apohanam. That's all he said. But Arjuna, Krishna is saying, sattval sanjayate jnanam rajaso lobham evacha. When rajoguna means inside, lobham, the greed will be there. Unlimited greed. Any amount of money, any amount of wealth will never be satisfied. More, 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 more. The greed goes on and on and on. That is purely coming from rajoguna. Sattval sanjayate jnanam rajaso lobham evacha. Krishna says to Arjuna. Then, pramada mohau tamaso. Pramadam, moham, tamaso. From tamogunam comes pramadam and moham. Pramadam means, what does pramadam mean? Pramadam means this, that I am everything. I am the important one in this world. I have done this, I have done that. I, that false ego inside will be very powerful. That is pramadam. And with the result of that is moham, illusion will develop. All of us, practically all of us, are going on in this world, in this consciousness. Pramada moha tamaso. Isn't it? Pramada moha tamaso. Bhavado ajnanam evacha. What will happen from that? Only ignorance. Only ajnanam. Bhavado ajnanam evacha. The result will be ajnanam only. Nothing else, Krishna says. That is called ajnanam. Now you know, ajnanam is not something what we say somebody is ignorant. Ajnanam is this. When we are under the grip of the lower modes of material nature, particularly rajogunam and tamogunam, and this moham, pramadam and lobham, these things are very strong inside, we are ajnanis. When sattugunam has developed in plenty inside, and through that sattugunam bhakti is developed, automatically which will happen, Krishna is saying that he is a jnani. He is in knowledge. That is the difference between jnani and ajnani. Krishna says in the 14th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. So, rajogunam, tamogunam drag you down. Sattugunam elevates you. Sattugunam elevates us. So, saying this, Krishna is finishing that chapter. But, if you look at that chapter at the end, you will see, Krishna gives a sort of a judgment there. Like a judge gives a judgment, Krishna gives a judgment. That is the next two verses. If you look at it, you will see there. Jnanam and bhakti Krishna has discussed, isn't it? And then Krishna is saying here, this is a judgment, two verses, Krishna's judgment. Prayena bhakti yogena satsangena vinodhava no payo vidyade sadrek prayanam hi sadamaham adhaidat paramam guhyam shrunvato yadunandana sugopyam abhivakshami tume vritti suhril sakaha. These are the judgments from Krishna. Why do we call it judgment? Because Krishna has spoken so many things now. Then eventually a sort of a conclusion, he says, this is my opinion. This is what you should understand. That's the mood when Krishna is saying that. He says here, prayena bhakti yogena and satsangena vinodhava. It's all very, very subtle things Krishna has spoken here. Prayena bhakti yogena satsangena vinodhava. Krishna says that this bhakti, prayena, generally will only come from satsangam. He gives importance there. This bhakti, this kind of bhakti, not other kind of bhakti, this kind of bhakti, what Krishna is talking about, Krishna says, generally will come from satsangam. Satsangena vinodhava. No payo vidyade. There is no alternative. There is no other alternative to it. Krishna says, no payo vidyade sadrik prayanam hi satamaham. Prayanam hi satamaham. That there is no other way, Uddhava, to reach that state of consciousness except this. So that is Krishna's judgment on that, firm opinion about this. So bhakti yogam and satsangam are two different things, isn't it? Two different things. What is bhakti? Bhakti means showing respect to all other living entities, recognizing the presence of Antaryami in everyone, the super soul in everyone, as Krishna's presence in everyone, and respecting that person, adarava, or bhakti, that is called bhakti. That is bhakti. Now, that is bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga means this Antaryami upasana, serving Antaryami inside. Sarvabhudam. In all living entities, Krishna is present there as the super soul. And that is known as bhakti process, isn't it? Along with that, deity worship is allowed. Deity worship is allowed along with that. But if you ask between the two, which overrides the worship of Antaryami in another person, overrides, not the deity worship. Deity worship is a supporting factor in culturing this understanding, in developing this understanding of worshipping Krishna, in seeing His presence in everyone. So, Antaryami Upasana along with Vigraha Aradhana or Bimba Aradhana together develop Sattvagunam strongly inside. But out of the two, the stronger thing is the Antaryami Upasana. As I mentioned before, because we lost it, we have now become so concerned about the deity worship and busy in building all these temples we'll build all over the world, but no change in the heart. This is where we are at today. So many temples, because plenty of concrete and cement and everything is available if you pay for it. So you can build as much as you want, but inside what is required is not happening. Why? Because this understanding has escaped from us completely. So Krishna says here that that this thing called this bhakti yogena satsangena vinodhava, that association with those who have realized Krishna, that is important. That is satsangam, association with those who have realized Krishna. And he says here, I don't see any other alternative Uddhava for spiritual realization. And then after that, Krishna is saying here, paramam guhyam shrunado yadunandana, that it is the greatest secret. As usual, Krishna's another secret. Krishna has many secrets, isn't it? Krishna tells all the time, this is a secret, that's a secret, everything is a secret, he says. But then he openly tells everybody the secret. So we start wondering, if it is a secret, why can't he keep it himself? Why he tells us all these things? But he knows his secrets are a little different than our secrets. The secret is here. He says, I'll tell you the secret. Why? Because Tunme Britya Suhur Sakha. You are my servant, you are my friend, you are my associate, you are everything for me. So I'll tell you this secret, he says. Therefore, a great secret, Paramam Guhyam, a great secret I will tell you, he says. So, question will come, if it is such a secret, why is he saying this, like this? And if it is a secret, what Krishna has told to Uddhava, I am not supposed to read this out to you, am I? Because it's a secret between Krishna and Uddhava. Why should we read this now? Because it's matter between Krishna and Uddhava. It's a secret, isn't it? So if it is a secret, why should we openly discuss it in assembly of so many people and all over the world we are giving these books with this secret inside? So what does that mean? What that secret means? Secret means, it doesn't mean that it is not something that cannot be spoken. Till you experience this thing, what Krishna has spoken, it is a secret for us. Till what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava, till we have experienced it, it is a secret for us, isn't it? So, for example, 10, 20 hours we can talk about this, but it is a secret still. Till at the end it's a secret. Why? We have not experienced it. So till we experience that, what Krishna has spoken so far, it remains as a secret. That is Krishna's point. That's why Krishna is saying there, Adhaidat Paramam Guhyam. It is such a secret, he says. Shrunado Yadunandana Uddhava, hear this. Sugopyam, it's a highly secret, highly confidential, he says. Abhi Vakshyami, but I'll tell you that. Tome Bhrithi Suhur Sakha. You are my Bhrithya Suhur Sakha, everything. You are for me so dear to me that I cannot keep it to myself. I'll tell you that. So now you see the point what Krishna is making. Yeah? Spiritual life is all realization. Only when you have realized you can say that you have got it. Till you have not got it, you have not realized it, you haven't got it. It remains as a mystery to us all through the life. It will remain as a mystery. That is why in spiritual life, when we understand things, the importance of sadhana and the process what Krishna has spoken, if you don't follow that, it can only good only to tell others what it's worth. You can tell anybody else. Just like sometimes people learn music. And then you ask him, oh, you're going to be a musician. No, I'm going to get job as a music teacher so that he can teach somebody else music. So you can't keep on teaching this, but you will never become a musician in the strict sense that you are not a musician. Only you're a teacher teaching at the school or college. Similarly, if I tell you about sugar and I can talk to you about sugar, the color is white, and it comes in packets of 1-2 kilo. You can buy them at Sainsbury's. It costs so much money. Everything I can tell you about the sugar. But instead, if I just take a spoon of sugar and put it into your mouth, it doesn't need any more explanation after that. Isn't it? You understood what sugar means. What does sugars... I say to you, sugar is very sweet. And you enjoy when you're taking sugar. You use sugar in all the sweets you make. Like this, I can give you a lot of description of the sugar. 1 or 2 hours lecture about the sugar. But it will not have any impact on you. Instead, if I just take a spoon of sugar and put it in your mouth, as soon as it goes inside, you will say, I understood what sugar means now. Then I don't have to speak anything about sugar. Spiritual life is like that. As soon as you experience something, what Krishna has spoken, that is why all these subtle studies, understanding of the soul, and the subtle knowledge what Krishna has given in the Ekadasha Skandam and Bhagavad Gita, if it is not coming into realizations, then it remains as an unknown thing, a mystery to us. And it remains as a mystery forever, isn't it? So that's why Krishna says here that, the understanding of this realization is important. Realization is important. There are many people who are struggling in this world with this one problem. What is the problem? Problem is this, that they're not getting this. And they have performed a lot of sadhana in life. Lot of sadhana they have performed in life. Lot of meditation they have done. Lot of chanting they have done. And they have performed all the ekadashis they have followed. at the end, no satisfaction. They are 75, 80, 85 years old. They are saying that I didn't get it. This can happen. This has happened and it is still happening many times. People come, if you ask them, they will say, all my life I lived in the principle of Krishna consciousness. And I practiced everything what I have been told. I performed intense sadhana. I never deviated from that. I followed all the principles. I took spiritual life very seriously. I've studied everything what I have to understand, I've understood. And in spite of all that, they're saying, but I didn't get anything. I didn't get any realization at the end. When such a situation happens, that's very difficult. That's very, very difficult. somehow or the other, they're saying, I'm not getting it. What's that I was after whole life? I wanted to understand. I've served Krishna wholeheartedly. I've done everything what I've been told. That Krishna is saying here that the reason for that, Krishna is explaining there, why it happens like that. Reason for that is, Krishna says here, that if you want to light a lamp, you have to light it from another lamp. If you have lighted the lamp from when there is no light in some place, and if you have lighted a lamp from there, that lamp won't burn. So, unless you have come into contact with some person who has personal realization and experience of these things, only through their association this experience will come. And that is what Krishna calls it as bhakti. There Krishna addresses it as bhakti. And that is the only way it can happen. There is no other way. Therefore, this is the main topic in the next chapter Krishna is going to discuss. That through association with someone who has experienced that of realization in life of Krishna's Antaryami form or in whatever way he has related with Krishna, but who has realization of Krishna, and only through his association, Krishna is saying here that it will happen. On the other way, it is not going to happen. Krishna says that is why many instances, this is all known things. You will notice sometimes in villages and in towns, cities also, people will engage in spiritual life. Many people do practice spiritual life. And they have they have their strict discipline way of life. They do that. They read every day. They study every day. They think about it. And they perform the sadhana also properly. Every day they have their required quota of chanting, 16 rounds or 32 rounds or 64 rounds, whatever. They have chanted all that. But in spite of all that, after several years of practice of spiritual life, when they know that the time has come to leave the body, they are getting disturbed inside. And they are saying, we didn't get it. I didn't get anything. Krishna didn't give it to me. I didn't get it. So Krishna says, there is only one reason why it has happened that way. That they did not take the shelter of someone who has taken my shelter properly and realized me in some form. Krishna gives the example, you can only light a lamp somewhere from another place where a lamp is burning. If that lamp is not burning, if you light your lamp from that, your lamp is also not going to burn. You cannot light a lamp from a photograph, can you? You have a photograph of a lamp burning, but you can't light your lamp from that photo. You can't do that. You need somewhere where that lamp is already burning. You should light from that lamp, it will burn. And Krishna says, then it will work. And with this in the background, Krishna starts the next chapter. Let's look at that.
श्री भगवान वाचा न रोधयति माम योगो न सांख्यम धर्मये वचाम न स्वाध्याय तपस्त्यागो इष्टापूर्तम न दक्षिणाम.
Krishna says that न रोधयति माम योगो न सांख्यम धर्मये वचा न स्वाध्यायम तपस्य త్యాగం ఇష్టాపూర్తం నా దక్షిణ. ఇన్ వన్ టూ వర్సెస్ ఇన్ టూ వర్సెస్ కృష్ణ సేస్ ఎవ్రీబడి ఎల్స్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఎల్స్ ఈజ్ సెకండరీ. దట్స్ వాట్ ద ఫస్ట్ టూ వర్సెస్ ఆర్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్. నా రోధయది మాం యోగం నా సాంఖ్యం ధర్మ ఏవచ నా స్వాధ్యాయం తపస్ త్యాగం ఇష్టాపూర్తం దక్షిణ. నన్ ఆఫ్ దమ్ కృష్ణ సేస్ వ్రతాని యజ్ఞ ఛందాంసి తీర్థాని నియమా యమాహ యథా అవరుందే సత్సంగ సర్వసంగాపహోహి మాం. యు కాంట్ గెట్ ఎ క్లియర్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్ దాన్ దిస్ ఫ్రమ్ ద భాగవతం. కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ దేర్ వ్రతాని యజ్ఞ ఛందాంసి. Now, let's look at each one of them. It's so important, all these words in the 12th chapter. That he says here, Vratam, all your fasting what you have done in your life, Ekadashis and Janmashtamis and Ramanavamis and what else? Whatever we have, all the appearance, disappearance day of all the Acharyas, all these you have done. Vratani, Yatnya Chandamsi. You also given a lot of money in charity and performed a lot of sacrifices, everything. You have also studied Shastram, Chandasa, Chandamsi. You have gone on pilgrimage everywhere, all over the holy places, right from Los Angeles to Sydney. You have traveled to all the holy places without leaving everything. Everywhere you went, Tirthani. If you consider everyone as a Tirtham, Tirthani, Niyama, Yama. You have followed all the rules and yamam and niyamam, rules and regulations, everything strictly mentioned in the Shastram. Krishna says, Yatha avarunde satsangam sarvasangavahohimam Uddhava. None of them will get you anywhere near to satsangam. Satsangam is the key, Krishna says, from where all those other things, what Krishna has spoken, is only to prepare us to develop that maturity to go for a satsangam. This is the difference between satsangam and all the other processes. We should not think satsangam is another process like chanting the holy name or Ekadashi or prasadam or any other spiritual deity worship or any other spiritual activity we do. Krishna says, don't misunderstand that. All other processes, Krishna says, is to prepare us properly how to be in a satsangam. This is the important thing. That's why Krishna is saying, Narodhayadi mam yogo. Yogam won't help you. Na sanghyam. Sanghyam won't help you. Dharma evacham. Even dharma what you execute will not help you. Na swadhyayam. Swadhyayam means studying shastra to a higher degree. Won't help you. Tapasam. Tapasam won't. Austerities and penances won't help you. Tyagam. All kinds of sacrifices you have mentioned, tyagam in this world, means to give up everything. Ishtaburtam, or what we discussed, like the building hospitals, schools and things like that. Na dakshina, all the dakshinas what you have given at that time to the priests. Krishna is saying, all these things are there only to prepare us so that we know how to go to a satsangam. Because we don't know even how to go to a satsangam. I think satsangam is a class, isn't it? Satsangam is a meeting, we say, between, say, 4 to 5 or 6 to 8 or whatever it is. We go and sit there and we go home, forget about everything after what I heard. No, satsangam is a big thing. What Krishna is going to talk about that. Krishna never seems to be happy, to satisfied by talking about satsangam. This is another interesting thing you can see here when you keep Krishna talks about satsangam. Krishna's point is, gives so much importance to satsangam. Krishna says there, Uddhava, there is nothing else in this world as powerful as satsangam is. As powerful as satsangam is. That's what you will find here, that the this satsangam, what does it say? Sarva Sangabahohimam. That is the word Krishna has used. What does that mean? Sarva Sangabahohimam. What we have got today is Sangam. Isn't it? Sangam. Sangam means what? Attachment. Attachment. What kind of attachment? Attachment to the body, attachment to the friends, society, senses, material world, and enjoyment, everything in this world. This is all our various kinds of attachment. Krishna says, the only way to come out of this is sarva sangabaho himam. If you want to free yourself from this Sangam, the only way is Satsangam. Krishna says, only way is Satsangam. That all will happen through Satsangam. In age of Kali, Krishna does not think Tirthayatra or pilgrimage is a choice in the age of Kali. I can tell you why it is not effective. All our pilgrimage is not effective. Because it's not done the way it should be done. This is the first problem. In the earlier days, we're talking about before all these flights came about, before all the trains, 250 miles speed an hour intercity running, that's not Tirthayatra. You jump board into that train. Say, while getting into the train, you are looking at the watch and the date. Oh, I have to be back in 10 days, back at work. With this mood, you are entering into the boarding the train or the flight. Krishna says, this is not Tirthayatra actually. Tirthayatra means you leave home walking, not knowing when you will come back. This was the mood of all the great devotees and acharyas when they performed Tirthayatra. And when they went to holy places, they were not booking in advance their rooms and facilities, taxis and other things. They never booked anything in advance. They went to those places completely dependent on Krishna's mercy, in other words. So naturally, the life has to have a different way of doing these things. And if it is done in that way, Tirthayatra will have its benefit. But that Tirthayatra is not happening in Kali. Modern Tirthayatra is completely a difference, more like a tourist rather than a Tirthayatra, isn't it? Our Tirthayatras are centered around our comforts first. That whenever we go somewhere, if everything is booked in advance, then we feel safer enough to go. So therefore it doesn't become a Tirthayatra. So, but what happens now, we go on Tirthayatra, go and come back fully tired, exhausted after all that. And Krishna is saying here, that if that has not even created any satsangam from that it simply becomes a running around here and there. It's nothing more than that. Once it so happened, one person went a long way to bathe in Ganga River. Bathe in Ganga River. Because he heard from the Shastram and from so many people that Ganga River is very holy. If you bathe in Ganga River, all your sinful reactions have gone. He understood like that. So he booked his flight, went there. After all, best place he chose, whether he should go to Prayag or to Haridwar or somewhere, where is the best place to bathe in Ganga, he found out all that. When he went to Benares, that's where he decided to bathe, because it's the most important place for Ganga River, and this Kashi Vishwanathi's temple is there. Everywhere it is the most auspicious place. When he got there, what happened was, when he looked at Ganga, he found it very filthy. Whole place is full of dead bodies and so many stool is coming through the river, everything. He says, I went back to the hotel where I was staying and bathed in the bathroom and came back here. This has happened to people. They couldn't bathe in Ganga River because he went there to bathe in Ganga River with all this information he has collected from London about the Ganga's greatness, holiness of the Ganga. And he has collected all this information. He is reading it all the way in the flight also before he got to Benares. When he got there and when he saw Ganga River, he couldn't bathe. He says, after all, this water must be coming from Ganga and the results must be the same. So he went back to his 5-star hotel in Benares where he was staying and he bathed in the bathroom. He says the shower was very good and he had a nice shower and bathed there and he came back. So what does that Tirthayatra means? Now, if you bathe in Ganga and fully disgusted inside, oh, Ganga is like filthy completely and holding your nose and eyes and going underneath the water. What Ganga Devi can do? What can she do for us in that situation? So, you can see where the problem is coming. Today, government is saying that they're going to spend billions of dollars to clean up Ganga River. And World Bank is financing, Japan is financing, some people are financing to clean up Ganga River. And we say Ganga River is the most purifying place, we go there to bathe. So what will happen to our Tirthayatra if this is the situation? So you can see in all these things what Krishna is saying does make sense, isn't it? That Tirthayatra and all other things are only there to bring us to this understanding of Krishna consciousness properly. Otherwise it's no use. We just going like, in Ganga River you will find so many fish bathing every day. They all don't get liberated, are they? All the frogs in the Ganga River, are they all getting liberated? the fish, the frogs, and sometimes you see in some villages they'll bring all the buffaloes every single day to bathe in Ganga River. Does that mean all the buffaloes go back home, back to Godhead straight away after they die, leave this body? No, that's not like that. So Bhagavadam is teaching us that when we execute spiritual activities, if the subtle side of that is not understood properly and we simply do it on a gross level all the time, it will not have any impact or any benefit from that. So, on the other hand, Krishna says here that if you have got the association of a proper sadhu, and if you bathe in the tirtham of that sadhu's association, that is much more powerful than any other bathing in any other holy river. So, that due to association of sadhus, Krishna says, how many people have escaped from material life and gone back to the spiritual world? That is a list what Krishna is giving in the next 4-5 verses. Satsangena daideyam yadudhana mrgaha khagaha gandharvaha apsaraso nagaha siddhasharana guhyagaha vidyadhara manusheshu vaishyaha shudra striyaha andhyajaha rajastama pragrdaya stasmin yuge anagha bahavo malparam prapta twashtra kayadhavadayaha vrishaparva baler vano mayalshadha vibheshanaha sugrivo hanuman vriksho gajo gradhro vanikpadaha vyadhaha kubja vraje gopyo yajnapatnya tathapare. Krishna never seems to be satisfied in giving us this list. First, Krishna makes a list and put it in front of us and saying to us, all these personalities, we will go through each one of them in detail, what they did and how they got their association with Krishna. We'll come to that. But prior to that, Krishna is saying, a list he is giving us. And you look at that list, you'll start wondering, where did this list appear from? Generally, you will expect in that list, all our acharyas, all the other great devotees, and all the well-known spiritually advanced people. In that list, not one. All demons, all animals, birds, beasts, trees, plants, and also you will see there, that those who are coming from the lowest category in life. When we say lowest category, don't misunderstand what it refers to. When Krishna says somebody is in lower category, means one who is very strongly infected with Rajogunam and Tamogunam. They are called the lowest people. One who is in Satogunam, he is in a higher state. Krishna is putting in front of us a list who are totally in Rajogunam and Tamogunam and saying to us, only through satsangam they have realized the truth. Why did he take a list from this category? Because you can understand that if people from such background can realize the absolute truth through satsangam, how powerful satsangam should be. This is the message to come through that, isn't it? Unless the satsangam is powerful, they on their own, they don't have the qualification to become self-realized. None of them listed there don't have the qualification to become self-realized on their own. But because satsangam they had, they become qualified, more than qualified, and came to the spiritual world. Krishna is saying there. So powerful is satsangam, Krishna is saying there. When you read these verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is very difficult to think otherwise, because Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the Absolute Truth, is telling us, Uddhava, there are so many processes I have given in the Bhagavad Gita, Sankhyam, Jnanam, Karmam, and so many bhakti and so many things. But all these things, the essence of all that, Krishna is saying is in the satsangam. So powerful, Krishna is stressing on this point. And when you keep on looking at it, each of these personalities mentioned here, what they have done in their life, and look at their good fortune, that how through satsangam they escape from this world, never to come back to this material world again. Material world again. They escape from here in a such a flying colors, they've gone away from here. And not only that, when you read that, people like us, who also have no choice otherwise. Otherwise there is not much hope for us. When you read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, we know. Equally Rajogunam, Tamogunam is within us. So there it comes to the point that Krishna is stressing this, that it is possible, Uddhava, not that they are all to be written off like that. All these personalities, you cannot be right. You can't write off anyone in spiritual life. Oh, he is like that, he is no good, he has not taken even initiation, he hasn't got this, he hasn't got that. And you, who knows what is going on behind? Nobody understands. So Krishna's point is, if all these people can come back to the spiritual world, Uddhava, you followed me throughout life, why do you worry? This is the question. Krishna's question to Uddhava is, that they have even come back to me in satsangam, and you had the best satsangam with me for 120 years. And Uddhava was worried whether I will escape from here or not. So in order to clarify so many things, Krishna has clarified in one lot in all these verses. Therefore he says here that in every spiritual activity, any spiritual activity if you take, including chanting, there is false ego behind it. Have you noticed that? While chanting, I'll say, I am chanting. I am chanting. When I do deity worship, I am doing deity worship. When I blow the conch shell, I am blowing the conch shell. In which spiritual activity can you say, even while eating prasadam, I am eating prasadam. Even though it is pleases you, person, you are doing it. So, ahankaram or false ego is in everything except in satsangam. Satsangam is the only place where you are just sitting, hearing. Nothing else is happening there. Simply, all you are doing is, you are keeping your identity away from the truth. That your false identity as false ego inside is not popping up at that point. That's the only time it doesn't pop up. The moment you get out of the room, it immediately comes up again, back into action. So from there you can see why satsangam is important. In satsangam, basically what is happening is, that it is not that everything that is spoken here has gone inside and started working. No, it hasn't. Even 5% may not have gone inside what is spoken in the Bhagavadam. But at least at that time, your false ego is not operating. In other words, chittavritti has stopped. All other false thoughts which has been coming and disturbing, going through the mind, comes to a dead stop when you are hearing about Krishna, about the soul, absolute truth. So Krishna's point is, when chittavritti comes to a dead stop, at least at that point Krishna says you are liberated. You are liberated. But do mukta idi vyakya gunato me namastuda gunasya maya mulatval name moksho na bandhanam. Remember that verse in the Bhagavadam. Krishna says there, bandham and moksham in relationship with the soul is like this, Uddhava. Uddhava, there is no such thing as bandham and moksham. When you are operating from your false ego platform, thinking that I am this body, I am this material world, it belongs to me, I am the controller, attachment, aversion, all these things are happening inside. And when you are in that state of consciousness, you are working, you are in bondage. And the moment you realize that I am not this body, which you will hear in the satsangam all the time, and your consciousness is shifted from the false ego to the platform of the soul, you are in the liberated state. Only thing is, we don't have that continuous experience of it. It gets broken straight away after a while. So if that consciousness stays, that freedom from attention to the false ego, it moves away back to the soul. And if attention is focused on the soul all the time, Krishna says, you are liberated. Then the material body will not disturb you anymore. And that is the perfect example Krishna has given us here. Gunasya maya mulatval name moksho na bandhanam. Moksham and bandham are not real in relationship with the soul. It's only maya mulatval. Because of the maya, we call it as maya. Because of the maya means rajasa, tamasa, sattvam, the three gunam. When the three gunams are predominant, we will experience this bondage in this world. That is the category of people who are called jivan mukta. Jivan muktas are those persons who have escaped from this body while living within this body. Krishna has spoken this before also to Uddhava. Remember, dehastobina dehastha. They have already left the deham. Material body, they have said goodbye already. But they are still there. They are still there. Vidwan sapnal yathotidaha. How they have woken up, if you remember that verse we discussed earlier. Dehastobina dehastha. That they are in the body, but they are not in the body. They left the body. Vidwan sapnal yathotida. They have already woken up to the higher reality. In other words, this identity with the body is gone for them. And they are still within the body, waiting for the body to drop. And a lot of examples like that in the Bhagavatam mentions like that. So, every other spiritual sadhana, the false ego, ahangaram, will work in a very subtle level all the time. You can't escape from that. It is there. So you can see, for example, our best process of chanting the holy name, when you complete the 16 rounds, you say, I've finished 16 rounds today. I've done that. And what 16 rounds is giving you this much. Imagine if you have done 64 in a day. What will happen? Whole world should know that I've done 64. Isn't it? That's how we are. We are like that. That, oh, I chanted 64 rounds today. Whole world should know my 64 rounds. So what has happened? Just like what has happened is that my ego has become stronger. Before chanting 64, I had little realization. But after chanting 64, I have become much more conscious of my 64. So this difficulty is there in sadhana. Please do not think it is a criticism of chanting. It is our psychic problem inside. That is what I am discussing. Not about chanting the holy name must be done. It is absolutely necessary. It's a sadhana supporting our satsangam. Without that, nothing will happen. But what I am saying is, we are created in that way. And this false ego, when it will pop up, it's very difficult to say anything about it. It's the same thing. When we go on a parikrama, we go to Vrindavanam or Haridwaram or Rishikesh or Badrinath, wherever, we come back, we have to tell everyone, we have been to all these places. I've been three times, I've been five times. I have done five parikramas in Vrindavan, 41 days each time, with this Maharaj or that Maharaj. That makes it much more bona fide. And you tell everyone that I've done all these things. That means, oh, you must be somebody great. Otherwise, how could anyone do these things? You start thinking, who couldn't do it? He's thinking like that. The one who has done it, he is so confident now that his ticket is booked, return journey. So where is all this going to? Krishna is saying here, narodhyadimam yogo na sangyam udhava. He says here, narodhyadimam yogo, neither by yogam, nor by sangyam, nor by dharmam. Na swadhyayam tapasa tyagam ishtapurtam dakshinam vratam yajnam chandamsi tirtham neyamam yamam yadhavarunde satsanga sarvasangapahohimam. None of these things can take away that attachment, sangam, from a person. We have attachment. If you look back to yourself in your own heart, think about this. You go on a pilgrimage. When you went on a pilgrimage, you look at your own mind and see how you felt about yourself. After the pilgrimage, you had come back and you look at yourself again and see how you feel about yourself. Probably for a day or two, you may act a little sober, peaceful. Third day, you'll be back to your normal Vishwarupam universal form will start manifesting again. So that is what Krishna is saying here. None of them are as powerful as satsangam. Therefore, Krishna's point is, satsangam is something which is to be throughout life. And at no point, this is why the ancient temples gave priority to satsangam more than even the deity worship. When there were powerful personalities who had these realizations from Bhagavadam and Bhagavad Gita, their association, many people, they'll come to the temple, they will not go and see the deity. They will have the satsangam and they will go home. If there is temple is very crowded or any reason they cannot have the darshan of the deity, even if that doesn't happen, they will not regret as much as if they have missed satsangam. In other words, satsangam is that thing that has given them life, not anything else. Because they know very well that after satsangam, how they feel about it. And it lasts longer. And Krishna is saying here, in that verse before, satsangena vinodhava. The bhakti that has come from satsangam will stay. other bhakti won't stay. Prayena bhakti yogena satsangena vinodhava. Only that bhakti that has come through satsangam will stay. Other bhakti will not stay. That's point. No upayam. There is no other alternative, Uddhava. Krishna says, no upayam. There is no other upayam. There is no other way. Vidyade sadhrek prayanam hi sadamaham. They come back to me. That is the easiest process. Saying this, Krishna has presented, as I mentioned, a list of people. And each one of them requires a thorough study. Personalities from Ramayanam. Personalities from business community. Personalities from birds. Personalities from trees and plants. Personalities from Gandharvas, Yakshas, Nagas. And personalities from monkeys. All sorts of categories of people. One after the other, Krishna has listed them. And Krishna says here that if you... even if you study Shastram, Krishna says, there will be false ego inside. What is that? That suppose he does not have association with great souls. That person does not have association with great souls. If he has not gone through satsangam, what will happen to him is, I am a scholar, I am a learned person. This thought will be there. That false ego will pop up in that way. So, Krishna says there that first thing is to find out those personalities, such people who have that nishtha. Nishtha means who is situated in that knowledge and realizations. Such great souls one should inquire after, and there will always be there in this world. Do not misunderstand that. It's not a very silly statement. It's not a very light statement. Those personalities will always be there in this world. Only thing is, they won't be advertising all over the world. Look, I'm here, come for association. I'm here, a self-realized soul. We used to advertise like that at one time. If you look at the old BTGs, you will find there, meet a bona fide spiritual master. An advertisement like, given to people. Just shows our immaturity in these things. Bona fide spiritual master doesn't need advertisement. If we have thought like that, that's our foolishness. We have understood it that way. And for many people have fallen along with that, gone along with that. When they don't read Bhagavatam, this is what will happen. So personalities who are pursuing the path of spiritual life and self-realization will always be there in this world. But the question is how to find them. That's the problem. Because generally they are aloof from people. They keep away from the people. They don't want this glory, advertisement and propaganda and all that. This is all the modern commercialized spiritual world, what we have created today. This didn't exist before. This is not the process that has been in the practice before. Because now there is so much facility for advertisement and all other propaganda work, television, at least if you are appearing in 5-6 different channels, you are well known, aren't you? You are recognized. Everybody, oh, he's an Asta, I saw him in Asta. He must be a great soul. This is the way people also, those who are following spiritual life are also in the same consciousness. This is what they have understood about spiritual life. So somehow or the other, this has become the standard today. So, but Krishna's point is that there will be never a shortage of people getting their association, along with that, chanting the holy name, the meditation process, and only in their association, when you execute all these things, it will have its desired effect. That's the point. It will have its desired effect. Then what will happen in that satsangam? Very, very, extremely subtle things, extremely subtle level, there will be an influence from them into us. There will be a influence from them into us. In a very, very subtle level, that will happen. So, so when we go and meet somebody in that, when we come to get to know, if we get to know someone like that, and if we have seen, practically speaking, in the past, people had that understanding at least. You can see at least 50, 60 years ago, people were like that. Many, many people who came to India from the West looking for spiritual life, After a while they understood how the process of finding such a person. So you will notice they have gone and ended up with people that whom you have never thought or thought about or heard of before. Many times people have come from America, from Europe, have come looking for spiritual life, and they have found people also. Not that they didn't find, but they were searching for the truth. That search was very, very intense inside. That on the other hand, what will happen is that that simply by their association alone, our externally looking senses will turn inwards. Our externally looking senses will turn inwards simply by their association. So powerful they are. And on the other hand, the problem is they will live in this world like everybody else. So therefore, it's very difficult to identify them, who they are. And if you look back into the history, some of the people where you have met self-realized souls, they came from such places where you have never thought of them coming from. Never thought of going to come from. You go to all the temples, you go to all the holy places, ashrams everywhere, you have searched everywhere, you couldn't find one, a self-realized soul. Somewhere in one of the streets in Mumbai, in one of the most deserted places where normally people will be hesitant to go, a self-realized soul is sitting there and discussing Vedanta philosophy with others. This has happened. This is there. Proof is there in the history. In many, many instances this has happened. Self-realization is not anybody's monopoly. Krishna is saying that. One who knows that whose heart is going towards Krishna, the inquiry for the truth has begun. If you have met the right person and through whose mercy you have gone to that knowledge inside, and you have through vijaram, atma vijaram, knowledge of the soul, you have developed that understanding, and through Krishna's kripa or mercy, it comes to you. And who it will happen to whom? Nobody can say anything about it. Generally, our misunderstanding is that it's only in the temples, it's only the bona fide ones can give it to us. Bona fide ones have to find for themselves first. And only the bona fide ones have to give it to us. And they are only in the list who are recognized. What a blunder we have got into. What a foolish understanding. And that is why spiritual life is not monopoly of anyone. It is your intense desire that to search for the truth, what Krishna says as mokshatvam, that intense desire inside to realize the truth, and in that process, willing to surrender to the truth inside as Krishna or to the soul, or cultivating that spiritual knowledge to that degree that you are able to free yourself from the grips of Maya. All these things. There's only two processes, bhakti or jnanam. Bhakti means only one option you have left, completely to surrender to Krishna inside or to the Supreme Personality which you have formed, you are worshipping. Without surrender, all talk is waste of time. Without surrender, everything is a waste of time. I can run hundreds of retreats, takes you to all the best places, and you can have so many retreats, nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. It is not possible, because Krishna is saying here, the key to bhakti is sharanagati. How much you surrender, yayathamam prabhadyande tamstadaiva bhajamyaham. Krishna's contract is very clear. You surrender, I'll give it to you. You don't surrender, you carry on with your any other philosophy, you carry on. Nothing will happen. So we have to recognize, although bhakti process is simple, we say, bhakti process will only become successful when surrender happens. Up to that point, it's all in the words. Just words, nothing else. You can have sit together, we can have a discussion about bhakti, we can talk about various things, but unless and until surrender happens, sharanagati, that is the key for bhakti. Sharanagati is the key for bhakti. For jnani, is the other way. For jnani, he also comes to the same position. Where how? Finish up all connections with this world. Very determined inside to realize the truth. And sees Krishna's presence in other living entities and decided to go that path continuously through Atma Vicharam. Through realization, analysis of the truth. In that way also Krishna says, we have got two things. One is intelligence, other one is mind. Mind is the secret behind bhakti. ഇന്റലിജൻസ് ഈസ് എ സീക്രട്ട് ബിഹൈൻഡ് നോളജ്. ജ്ഞാനമാർഗം കംസ് ത്രൂ ഇന്റലിജൻസ്, ഭക്തിമാർഗം കംസ് ത്രൂ ദ മൈൻഡ്. ദാറ്റ്സ് ഓൺലി ഡിഫറൻസ്. But whichever process we follow, at the end Krishna says, if it is not followed strictly, result won't come. Result won't come. No matter what we do, you can study whole of Srimad Bhagavatam, and at the end if there is no surrender, Krishna says it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Because all the Bhagavatam is talking to us is only one thing, that is to surrender. Isn't it? From Kunti Devi, from Parikshit Maharaj, right onwards, right up to Markandeya Maharshi in the 12th canto, there is only one message, surrender to Krishna. That is bhakti. And when there is no surrender, when we have completely misunderstood everything, that Krishna consciousness is a way of life, I can live comfortably in this material world with Krishna consciousness, and I can make a living out of Krishna consciousness. If all these ideas had come in, there is no bhakti there, there is no surrender there, and there is no spiritual life there. It's just a show will go on day after day. Nothing else will happen. So, the thing is that Krishna's point is that that all these great personalities, when they live in this world, they live with the external symptoms in that way. They'll, with their external symptoms, will be like that. That then, when there is a cool breeze coming in hot weather, there is no need for a fan separately. Similarly, Krishna says, when there is satsangam, there is no other process required. If one gets the proper satsangam, then no need to chant. Let me explain that, don't misunderstand me now. No need to chant, no need to meditate, and no need to study any shastram if you have first-class satsangam. If you have, so much is the stress given on satsangam in these chapters. So, that is the reason why Krishna says, Sugopyam abhivakshyami. And Krishna says, because of that, it will all happen automatically. If satsangam is there, Sugopyam abhivakshyami. Krishna says, Sugopyam. That confidential thing will happen to you. I am telling you, Krishna says that. That if it is like that, that why we should speak about that if it is such a confidential thing. What this is Krishna has spoken to Uddhava in his ears, isn't it? It's a confidential thing. But if we openly say all these things like this, like we are talking about it now, there is a negative side to it. That also we should know. What's the negative side? The negative side is like this. That we are saying that only satsangam is sufficient, isn't it? So you know what people will do first thing? They will say, I will go for satsangam, I won't chant anymore. That will be the first thing you will do. So, and then also you will say that, well, I'm not getting up this morning. This morning is too cold. Because satsangam is in the evening, I'm going for satsangam. So satsangam is there. The tendency will be, using satsangam as an excuse, you will pull out of sadhana. Pull out of sadhana. So Krishna's point is that people start saying satsangam is sufficient, nothing else is required. You will give a twist to the whole thing. Remember, to enjoy satsangam and to maximize the benefit from satsangam, a certain maturity is required inside. A background is necessary. The field has to be properly prepared inside. How to take the benefit of the satsangam. How to take advantage of the satsangam. In order to prepare us for that, sadhana is necessary. Japam is necessary. Puja is necessary. Dhyanam is necessary. All the principles are necessary. Dharmam, dharmic way of life is also necessary for all these things. If it is not happening, what will happen is, people will use this to exploit others. That also will happen. He will say, in order to exploit others, he'll tell them that satsangam is sufficient, you don't have to do anything else. And they will exploit others. It will turn into exploitation. That although devotion, bhakti to the spiritual master and satsangam, they are all real, it can be used for exploiting others as well. That is also the other side of it, the wrong side of it. this thing called satsangam, guru bhakti or devotion to the spiritual master, all these things are powerful, there is no doubt, but it can be used to exploit others as well. Then when they start doing that, that is when all the problem starts. That's when all the problem starts. So, knowing very well all these things, we have to utilize this. What is satsangam means then? Satsangam is nothing but sanidhyam. Shastram, the word is sanidhyam. Sanidhyam means in whose presence your false ego disappears. That is the proper satsangam. In whose presence, if your false ego disappears at that point, you can say you had satsangam. Otherwise, it's not satsang. If you go to a lecture or a class, you sit and listen and go, that is not satsangam. Satsangam is that in whose presence your false ego disappears from inside, that jiva nature goes away from inside. Krishna calls it as satsangam. Next Sunday we'll continue. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. Yeah.